Now, no mere man could do that. If I was to make that claim in the pulpit today, you'd probably throw stones at me. And they did that to the Lord Jesus, because the Jews knew by his claims that he was making himself out to be equal with God. Now, I have five reasons in my introduction on why study this book of John. Because, number one, there is information in this book of John about the person of our Lord Jesus that you do not find anywhere else. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I appreciate this opportunity to minister God's Word to you. We're going to turn to the book of John, John's Gospel. This is the doctrinal, the theological, and yet the personal gospel, where the person and work of the Lord Jesus is presented differently from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They are called synoptic gospels, more or less as those who are looking on, gazing upon the life of Christ. Here you have the heavenly view. Jesus is the Creator. He is God in the flesh, and he is the one that came down from heaven. He is the bread of life, and of course you have the I Ams, where he is equal with God. So John's Gospel is a vital part of our Christian knowledge, and I trust over these weeks that the Lord will bless you through his word as we dig deeply into John's Gospel. Now, at the close of the program, or near the close of the program, I'll be sharing with you something from Genesis 2 from our Bible study notes. And I want to recommend these, that you download them from our website at ltbs.ca, and that you can study these for personal study, family study, a group, or even in a church, as we do in our adult Sunday school here in our own church. So I'll be giving you all those announcements toward the end on our Bible study notes. But right now we're opening our Bible at John chapter 1. And as you'll find, the preacher today is going to call you to open your Bible and take a good look at John chapter 1, verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And we're not going to read the chapter, but I just want to rehearse verse 1. And I want to have you think on it very deeply today. This single verse in John chapter 1, verse 1. I would like you to see it in your Bible if you could, because this is the revelation of God about the Lord Jesus, who is the messenger of the Father. And it says in this very simple text, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In this text, we are at the starting line of the race of faith. If you slip here, you'll never make it. If you fail and flounder on the truth that is set out here, you will never run the race of faith. Last week, we spent our morning message showing that this book is all about the call to believe. 100 times in this gospel, we are called to believe and to receive the message of the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. John's Gospel is not only the best known of the four Gospels, but its key doctrine is the person, the deity, the Godhood of the Lord Jesus. Now that makes all the difference. It's the difference between whether our hope is well-founded or whether the Lord Jesus is phony. He is either the Son of God or he is fake. He is either truly God of God, or he is a master in deceit, because he claimed to raise the dead, he claimed to be the resurrection and the life, he claimed to be the only way to the Father, and all others are not right. He claimed that he has the ability to give to dead, dying sinners eternal life. Now, no mere man could do that. If I was to make that claim in the pulpit today, you would probably throw stones at me. And they did that to the Lord Jesus, because the Jews knew by his claims that he was making himself out to be equal with God. Now, I have five reasons in my introduction on why study this book of John. Because, number one, there is information in this book of John about the person of our Lord Jesus that you do not find anywhere else, nor in the rest of the Bible. And there are things revealed about the Lord Jesus, his relationship with his Father, and indeed his promises of the gospel that you do not read in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. In every age, this is point number two now, the reason to study this book, in every age it has been required that we defend the deity of the Lord Jesus. Heretics rose up in the very first century, even in the days of the Apostle Paul, and they were claiming that Jesus never came in the flesh, that he was not real, that he was phony. And right down the history of the Christian church, and no less in this age of confusion and false doctrines, there are heretics that are out to deny the full divine nature of Jesus as the Son of God. And we need to be equipped from the Bible to defend that doctrine and that truth. There is a debate going on right now about the eternal generation of the Son. I'll not trouble you with it. It is confusion from beginning to end, but somewhere along the way it puts the question mark. Is Jesus really the eternal Son of God, fully equal with the Father? That is in Reformed camps. It is in the evangelical church today, and the church is going to have to address it head on, or we are in danger of losing the very gospel that we have. These opening verses give the clearest evidence of the equality of the Lord Jesus with the Father. I ask you to show me any other verse in the Bible that reveals it as clearly, as dogmatically, as is found here in this open verse. Number four, the claims of Christ require that he is God. I went ahead of myself earlier by saying that he who says he's the resurrection and the life, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he rise again. When you go to a funeral, and Lord willing, we'll be at the graveside of Mrs. Cursar's funeral on Friday at 1 p.m. And when we go to that funeral as Christians, do we stand alongside the grave and say all hope is gone? Do we not say that there's going to be a resurrection day? That our Lord Jesus has promised that he will come again, the graves will open, and we shall be with Christ, and we shall be transformed into the likeness of Christ. These are the claims of Christianity, of our Lord Jesus, and if he's not God, it's all a lie. It's all bogus. And such statements really are ridiculous. The Christian church, this is number five now, why we should study this book of John, has battled earnestly to defend the full deity of Christ against many heretics, and this includes the doctrine of the Trinity. Our gospel is a Trinitarian gospel. It involves the power of God the Father. It involves the victory of Jesus, God the Son. And it also involves the application of the work of the Holy Spirit to open our blinded eyes, give us faith and repentance, and to bring us into our right relationship with the eternal God. Now, this sermon today might be what you might call heavy doctrine. And I have endeavored to try and answer that issue by giving out here this confession or the Nicene Creed. Now, if I can find it here in my Bible, that would be helpful. But I hope that you have a copy. And in this Nicene Creed, you have a very clear statement that has been the foundation of the Christian church, well, from the Council of Nicaea, 325, right up to the Council of Constantinople, 381. And these church councils were defending against those who rose up to say Jesus is not God. What I want to prove from this paper you have with this creed is that this confession boldly acclaims that Jesus is God of very God, that he is equal with God. And this has been the consistent testimony of the Christian church right down through the ages, that we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Now, how could anybody come up with that? Only if the Bible teaches it. Only if it agrees with what the Bible states. And here in John's Gospel, chapter 1, you have the foundation for such statements. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Out of that one text, you will see three clear truths about our Lord Jesus. He is eternal. He was in the beginning. He was not created. Jesus did not begin on the day of creation. He was already there in the beginning. Secondly, you have personality. That he was not only there, but he was with God. Now, it doesn't say in God, but he is a separate person in the presence of God. And that gives separate personality to the Lord Jesus. It is a good foundation for the doctrinal Trinitarian truth that there is within the Godhead Father, Son, and of course many other parts of the Bible will teach there is also the Holy Spirit. Now, the third thing that we're going to see in this text is his equality, that he was with God and the Word was God. This is a profound and an amazing declaration that John the Apostle records, and he wants his writers to know this from the very opening statement. And this now becomes the premise for everything else that is recorded in the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus was not created. That's very important. He was not just man. In verse 14, we are told that the Word became flesh. He had an existence prior to Bethlehem when he was born into this world of Mary. He was already God in eternity. And that second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus, took our nature. There was joined to the divine nature of the Lord a human nature, that he would be our perfect, wonderful Savior, the Savior of men. He was not made in the likeness of angels, but made in our very likeness. Now, in this verse, you'll notice that John uses the exact same language as in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. Now, I didn't plan the Bible memorization list for this sermon, but somehow it coincided perfectly. And what we read and recited in Genesis 1, John comes back to in the beginning. You see, the Bible never teaches that there is a God. It assumes that God is. And when you come to the person of the Lord Jesus, John simply says, in the beginning was the Word. He already existed. This eternal nature and full Godhead of our Lord Jesus is sprinkled through this gospel in the seven I Ams of the Lord Jesus. Seven times he says, I am. John 6, I am the bread of life. John 8, I am the light of the world. John 10, I am the door. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. A total of seven times. And the Jews hated it. When the Jesus referred to himself as the I am, they were ready to stone and kill him because he was making himself out to be equal with God. And you remember when God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, and Moses asked, whom shall I say that sent me? And God spoke, I am that I am. The eternal, self-existent God who has no beginning and no end. He's eternal. And the Lord Jesus took to himself that same name repeatedly right through the record of this book of John. The I Ams of the Lord Jesus are a self-acclamation of his full Godhood and deity. And so we see that he is eternal. Now we see that he's personal. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we don't worship a robot? We don't worship mere cold legal doctrine. Christians belong to the church, but the church is founded by Jesus Christ. And he is a real living person. Isn't it wonderful that we can have the hymn in our hymn book, what a friend we have in Jesus, because he is a person. And he's a separate person from the Father and a separate person from the Holy Spirit. And this is outlined in that statement that he is with God. In eternity past, when God dwelt in his Trinitarian family, there was that interaction between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there was that communion. Read Proverbs 8 sometime, and you will read how the Father delighted when Jesus was in the bosom of the Father. And all of these scriptures declare and teach us that our Lord Jesus is a separate, distinct person from the Father. And there never was a time that God the Father existed that the Lord Jesus did not coexist in his presence. Now, if you look at verse 2, you will see how John ramps up this truth. Just in case it's beyond us, and it is. It is so spectacular that this unique person could actually
be from all eternity a person in the presence of God. He says, the same was in the beginning with God. Now, the Bible clearly teaches the separate interaction between the Father and the Son. The Father sends the Son. Jesus claimed he was sent by his Father. Now, that means they were separate persons. Jesus prayed to his Father, and he taught the disciples to pray Our Father. And when our Lord got alone, he was communing with the Father, and he was calling on the Father and showing that he was distinct in personality, and yet he himself was God. Now, all of this is written for our faith, that we would believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing we would have eternal life. And if you are today sitting in the seat saying, this cannot be, this is so fantastic, so out of the ballpark, that there is no possibility that the man who came in real historic time in AD 0, he changed the calendar, so he's a real person who changed the history of the world, who lived 33 years, died on the cross on AD 33, that this person is a unique divine person, and that the God said through the messenger, the angel, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His people. We as Christians belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to us. This is the good news of the gospel. We are not seeking to get to heaven by our own independent route. We're not trying to get to heaven by our own works. We are united to this second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our nature, who became our living Savior, and now represents us before the Father. And he says, he that believeth on the Son shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak again today as we bring you the message of the gospel. Now, as I mentioned, I want to give you an excerpt from our Bible study notes in the book of Genesis. We're still in the second chapter, which is a rehearsal of the creation account with more details. Chapter 1 gives you the day-by-day work and chronological order of the 6 days of creation. But chapter 2 fills in many details, and it's important that we grasp these things. Now, in our notes, we have a section on application. How does this apply to me? Bible study is not merely history. Bible study is God speaking to us in our present day and causing us to recognize our responsibility before Him. Now, this study of creation will do that to you. It will make you realize that if you are God's creature, created by His power with a never-dying soul, then you must give account to your Creator. We are accountable. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the basis of God's call to worship and to serve Him. And Christians must defend the institution of biblical marriage. We learned that in this chapter 2. Any sexual relationship outside the union of one man and one woman in a covenant of marriage is contrary to God's law of creation and is deviant, sinful behavior. And of course, to back that up, we can quote Romans 1, verse 26, where it talks about the man or the woman seeking that which is unnatural. And we stand where the Bible stands for the union of one man and one woman
as God's intention for marriage, and that will have God's blessing. Now, the application is that, therefore, now I am accountable. I will one day answer for my actions, how I live, how I act, and how I serve. And so this whole study comes very close to where we're at today. And so I ask you, are you living for God? Are you recognizing Him as your Creator, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, you will give account, and you will stand before God and answer of what you have done with all the gifts and all the blessings which He has given to you. And so this is the challenge, and this is the need to stand for truth, realizing that one day we will stand before God and give account for what we have done with His truth. Application is vital when we study the Bible, and sometimes that is lacking. It's one thing to learn the facts, the details, the history, but what does it mean to man today, the modern man, if you will, the man on the street, the man of the 21st century? God has not changed, His Word has not changed, His standards have not changed, and His requirements have not changed. We're still to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, are you doing that? If not, then we have sinned. We have broken His law, come short of His glory, of His standard of righteousness, and we need to be saved. We need to be made right with God. So, send for these notes. You can get them at ltbs.ca. Go to Resources, Bible Studies, Genesis, and you will find them there listed chapter by chapter, study by study, that you can have them for your own personal study, and you can have them for your family and group study, or as we do in our church at our adult Sunday school. Sunday morning is 9:30, and of course we want to invite you along for that as well. Now stay tuned for the closing announcements. Thank you. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.